Let's pray before we look at God's word together. Father, we thank you that you are the good Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we know what you're like as a person, and we know that you want to hear from us. So we ask that you be with us as we look at your son's words and ask that you would teach us and shape us by them. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. We are thinking for 4 weeks about life after COVID. Post-COVID Christians, what kind of Christians will we be in September? And what kind of church does All Souls want to be in September? And we began with Martha, distracted, worried, upset, and wanting to know, Lord, don't you care? COVID has given us all much to be afraid of. I don't think I will ever forget watching the news unfold as the virus got closer and closer and then arrived in England, in London. It has been 18 months of worry and upset. But I also hope that COVID might permanently reset what we worry about. In the very next chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches about worry and gives some examples. Why do you worry about what you will wear? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Or who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his height? All our worries that seem so important, COVID has just stomped on, hasn't it? You know, I haven't really ironed a shirt for 18 months, and no one can see how tall you are sitting down on Zoom, and all the things we did to add hours to our lives. Now we know that a virus we'd never heard of, from a town we'd never visited, could come and end the lives of people we love, hours, years before we were hoping. And we're in Luke 10 and 11 because I'm hoping that the lives we rebuild after COVID will be lives with listening to Jesus and speaking to his Father at the very heart of them, that we will be all about knowing God, whatever else it is going on in our lives. And we're halfway through the Lord's Prayer this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. So think about what we used to pray for pre-COVID and then what COVID has done to those prayer requests. I don't know, did you pray for the perfect job with the perfect colleagues? But after furlough and empty shop fronts at Oxford Circus and job losses, maybe we feel differently. Certainly I'd settle for just being able to meet my colleagues. Or did you pray for the perfect place to live? With the bars and the theatres and the London buzz? Did you pray for the perfect school for your children with the right foreign language and the grades, you know, one level higher than down the road? I wonder when during homeschool did you realise actually you'd settle for any school with any grades if it would just get the children out and your day back? Did you pray for the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend? Until the year when you couldn't meet anyone at all and all the perfect weddings turned into socially distanced gatherings of 15 people with masks on and don't kiss the bride. Wouldn't it be easy to feel let down by Jesus? Where has my life gone? Why have you left me with nothing? Do you not care? And a large part of the answer is that we had been caring and worrying about the wrong things. Jesus cares. Our Heavenly Father, we saw last week, cares so much. But knowing God is a relationship where we listen as well as speak. And the teaching of Jesus tells us what he cares about. And the prayer he taught us shows us how to pray for those things. Last week, we only looked at verse 2. Luke 11, verse 2. This week, we're going to be a bit more ambitious and try and cover two whole verses, Luke 11, verse 3 and verse 4. Last week was pray for God, and that helps anyway. Instead of always praying for ourselves, pray for what God wants, his name and his kingdom. This week, we come to pray for us, but we need to look at what Jesus thinks we should ask for, what he thinks we should care about. Verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Jesus gives us three things about us to pray for. And I've been laying them next to what I normally pray for. Do I want the same things as Jesus? Do I pray in the same proportion? Am I worried about whether he cares about me because I've been asking for things he never promised to give? There are three things about us in the model prayer, and two of them are about sin, and the other is so carefully limited to the bread I need to eat today. It's clearly a prayer designed to be prayed each day. And each day, here is the normal Christian speaking to his or her father about the things that really matter most. So let's start with our daily bread. Heading number one, pray about daily needs. Do you see how this would help Martha? Each day, our daily bread. Compared to you are worried and upset about many things. I imagine Martha liked to have a well-stocked larder. 10 days of quarantine, that wouldn't be a problem for her. And Jesus, he's not justifying those of us who are too lazy to go shopping in advance, but he's saying, pray for what you need to get through today. So bread, water, safety. Some days it's for enough energy just to get out of bed at all. Pray for what you need. What would be enough to get through today? How does that compare to all of our concerns for our children and their futures and our finances and our jobs and our status and our reputations? Is the bread in the house for today? Yes? Well, praise the Lord. Prayer answered. Do I know whether there'll be bread tomorrow? Maybe not, but I'll pray about that tomorrow. And Jesus knows what we're like, and he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. And up on the screen now will be a reference to Luke 12, verses 22 to 34 for your notes, where Jesus, he talks about food and clothes and how long we live and how tall we are. And the point is it's not that those things don't matter. His point is that you have a heavenly Father. Verse 30, the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Just listen to that. There is the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Applied to the things that we worry about. You have a Father. He knows what you need. So pray first, seek first for his kingdom. That's your kingdom come. That will reshape what you care about. And then pray for just enough bread to eat today. Lord's Prayer living is radical and challenging and wonderful because it's about living each day in relationship with a Father who knows what you need. And the Lord's Prayer, it's not meant to ban children from saying what is on their heart to their Father. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you, says Peter in his first letter. You can tell God how you feel. But Jesus in the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to redirect our prayers away from whatever comes out first in our heart onto what God is most concerned about and what would be better for us to be more concerned about. We would be happier disciples if we would learn to pray for what we need each day and be grateful to have the basics and to trust him for the rest. Jesus lived in a subsistence culture. Each day, you got paid enough to eat that day. And Christians all around the world live in situations where they don't know how many days' worth of food they have coming to them. And meeting those Christians, well, I've learned about trusting God and about prayer and about generosity and about thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful to God for. Why do we say that less than people who live in situations that we'd struggle even to survive in? And the Lord's Prayer doesn't mean that it's wrong to plan for the future. Pensions and savings, those are just mechanisms to pay for daily bread in the future. But when we care so much how big the pension is, or when we're unable to share because we think there is a target number in a bank account with our name on it that God wants us to have, give us each day our daily bread. Okay, that's one third of what Jesus thinks we need to pray for. And the other two thirds, they are about sin. Forgiveness of sin and help with temptation to sin. And if we're right that this is a model of prayer, well, we could try this, couldn't we, as post-COVID disciples? What if we made one third of our prayers for ourselves about subsistence needs and two thirds about sin? What if we decided as a church to try that for a couple of months and see what it does to us? Isn't that challenging in a denomination and a Western church that has forgotten how to talk about sin at all? Jesus thinks that the normal good disciple would be taking two-fifths of their prayer time to pray about sin. And every day, notice daily bread and daily forgiveness. And I want to think about that in two different ways, two headings, heading two and heading three this morning. So heading two, pray about sin because sin is normal. Pray about sin because sin is normal. So according to Jesus, a Christian disciple is someone who asks for forgiveness every day and who starts each day conscious of how much they've been forgiven. And a healthy church, according to Jesus, is a church that prays this prayer together daily. Forgive us our sins. And not as a new rule. We don't need a new Zoom meeting at 7 a.m. every day so that we can say the words of the Lord's Prayer together by rote. But the praying reality of what we think about ourselves as a church. At some point, I'm going to need to stop saying that I'm new and that I don't know anything at all about All Souls, but I wonder how it feels to come here and know that you are a sinner. Most Christians, and British Christians in particular, we give the impression that our life is fine and that we are one of the good people. And you can do that for good motives, but over hundreds of people and over years of church meetings, it would be easy to think you are the only one with a sin problem. When Peter, Andrew, Matthew, Philip, and John, when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he taught them to ask for forgiveness every single day, the apostles. Or turn it round. The only days on which a normal Christian needs to ask for forgiveness are the days on which he or she needs to eat. Isn't that an interesting expectation from Jesus? Did I eat today? Well, yeah, I did. Toast for breakfast. Oh, so it's probably one of those days when I'll need to say sorry to God for something. If before the pandemic you came to All Souls and you felt like one of the bad people in a room full of the good people, if you felt like they wouldn't want to talk to you if they knew what you were like, if you're at home watching this recording and you're not here because of how the last 18 months have gone with sin, and you're not sure we'd want to see you if you came back, will you let Jesus teach you what is real? Can we allow Jesus to know what is behind all the Christian smiles on a Sunday? A Christian disciple is someone who needs to ask for forgiveness every day. That's a normal Christian life. There are no other kinds of Christians available. So that is what All Souls is made of. There's nothing about the tube station at Oxford Circus that turns out a different breed of human being. One of my jobs for the last 4 years was at a church called St. Michael's. For one day a week, I sort of lived in the 16th century, by which I mean that at that church, we were very committed to only using prayers taken from the Church of England prayer book from 500 years ago. And lots of the modern Church of England hates the old prayer book for a variety of reasons. But one of them, they say it is so miserable, so full of sin and confessing and asking for help with it. Here's a prayer. We acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed. How? How, BCP? How have we done that? By thought, word and deed. And who, BCP, who have we sinned against? Against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. And how about how do we feel and what we should do? We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry, for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a prayer, isn't it? And people say they don't like it because it's a bit miserable and a bit discouraging. I have to say, I find it massively reassuring. If that's the prayer we all say in church, then no matter how clean your outward face is, perhaps we're all normal Christians on the inside. And same as last week, Jesus does not tell us to pray prayers that the Father says no to. Pray for forgiveness every day because your Father loves to forgive. And shouldn't verse 4 transform church conflicts and any conflict, actually, if we prayed it and meant it? Please forgive me how much I need your forgiveness, Father, and yet how confident I am that you are Father to this repeatedly sinful child because of the death of Jesus and your grace. And now help me, because that is how I want to treat everybody else, everyone who sins against us. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. You sometimes meet a Christian who thinks it's easy to forgive other people. But that is normally because they have rigged their lives in such a way that no one can ever get close enough to really hurt them. Or they've been protected from all the wounds of normal life in some other way. Jesus thinks forgiveness is hard, is something the normal Christian needs to pray about every day. And we said last week, he is no armchair general and he is no hypocrite. He was praying the Lord's Prayer as they nailed him to the cross. So he prayed, Father, forgive them. He knows this hurts. So he says, pray about it every day. And we'll come back to look at the answer to that prayer next week. And also the normal Christian prays about temptation every day. I wonder, is that an urgent prayer request of yours? When the Bible study group asks what they can be praying for me, I don't really want to say temptation, but Jesus here is giving us that permission. What are the really big challenges in your day from Jesus's point of view? What are the really big needs? Well, will there be some bread to eat? That's one. And how will it go with temptation? Aren't those different lenses to measure the success of your day by? And I love even just the detail of the request. It isn't pray that I will be strong enough to resist temptation, though you can pray that. And it isn't pray that I will get beyond greed and lust and pride to the happy, smiley, problem-free Christian life. It's asking my Father that today he would lead me away from temptation. Don't put me there today, Father. You know what I'm like. Again, if you think you are the only one battling with temptation in a church full of people who find it easy, well, then you need to begin believing Jesus rather than believing us. Pray about sin, because sin is normal. But this doesn't mean, because it's normal, doesn't mean Jesus doesn't care about sin. Of course not. Third heading, pray about sin, because sin is serious. 2/5 of the entire prayer, 2/3 of the praying about ourselves. The only thing of equal importance is enough food to stay alive for one more day. Pray about sin, because sin matters to God. All the things we worried about before COVID, how tall you are and how popular you are and how fast your car is and how good at sport you are and how nice your house is. God never thought those things really mattered. He always cared more about how your envy is and how fast your anger is and how good at forgiveness you are. He is the loving Father from Luke 15 that we spoke about last week. Pray this with confidence because he is on your side. He loves to forgive and he loves to help us with temptation. So let's ask. Teach us to pray, the disciples said. And the question is whether we will let Jesus teach us what our prayers should be full of. And we said last week, this is a model prayer. You can take each line and put it into your own words. And maybe it is a long time since you sat down and said sorry to God in any kind of detail. Or maybe it's a long time since you made temptation an urgent prayer for you. And maybe there are temptations that you lead yourself into every single day. Well, praying the Lord's Prayer every day, that could really help, couldn't it? A disciple is someone who listens to Jesus and who speaks to the Father and who speaks to the Father about these things, who cares most about these concerns. And when it comes to packing our post-COVID lives, will we let this help us know what to pack? As it happens, I'm packing the car on Sunday afternoon this week to go camping for a week and a half term. I'm planning to cheat because I have a roof rack and a trailer, but I could approach it and only pack the fun things, only the games and the music, only the drinks and the chocolates. And that would be okay if I was sure that there would be no mud in the field and no rain in the forecast and no injuries in the football. But because I wasn't born yesterday, I'm going to pack the car with what I think we might need. What would it mean to repack all souls as people who care about daily bread rather than everything else? And people who know we're sinners and who think sin matters to God? That's the question to be talking about together from here to September. And each of us will answer that in different ways. The prayer gathering is on Tuesday, and the small groups open God's Word every week, and the prayer Zooms pray every morning at 8 a.m., and we would love to see you at all of those. But really, this is between you and your Lord, and what your life will be like for the post-COVID years. And my only contribution at this point is a commitment I made as I moved into the house down the road to be your new rector. There'll be so many things I fail to do and don't have time to do, but here is what I'm going to try and do each day. Each day I'm at All Souls, I want to read the Bible, listen to Jesus myself personally. And each day I'm at All Souls, I want to pray the Lord's Prayer because I know I have a Saviour who speaks and a Father who cares. Let's pray to him now. Our Father, we thank you that you know what we need, that you are our Father in heaven, that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that if we seek your kingdom first and seek you, that you will give us all that we most need. Pray that you would help us, that you would reshape us, that we would pray for the things that we need most, and we would listen to your Son as he helps us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.